driven by our D&M Leasing Studios. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation, and what's going on with your Dallas Stars? We're going to chat with our friend Leah Simikopoulos of the Dallas Morning News, who does an excellent job covering the Dallas Stars and your SMU Mustangs as college football right around the corner. It is halftime as Spain leading Austria in the FIFA World Cup round of 32. Some tremendous matches throughout the day today. I think we have Croatia playing later on tonight as well as they're taking on Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo. Switzerland and Algeria will be the late game on FS1. That'll be a 9 o'clock start here locally. Of course, we got Rangers baseball, and we'll talk with Jared Sandler coming up at 5 o'clock. Corey Seager hitting bobblehead night here at the ballpark. If you're coming out, say what's up to us at the Comerica backyard. But without further ado, let's welcome in Leah Simikopoulos. Leah, how are you and how busy and hectic have the last 72 hours been?
You know, I'm great. Less busy and hectic than I think a lot of people would have hoped. It was a little bit of a quiet first day of free agency for the Stars. But yeah, a lot of things happening hopefully soon. And it's an interesting time for them.
Yeah, I think the drama was really kind of leading into yesterday, right? We had all the Zach Werenski rumors that were swirling, and that got people exciting. And then what was going to happen with Maverick Bork. So just walk us through what kind of has gone right and wrong for the Stars here leading up to today.
Yeah, it feels like a lot more has gone wrong than gone right in terms of making this team better than it was. And there really are a lot of loose ends that just haven't been resolved. And, you know, Jim Neal spoke yesterday and said it is still only July 1st, now July 2nd. There is time. The season doesn't start till September, but you have to feel a little uneasy just because a lot of times teams are making these big moves and signings leading up to and on the first day of free agency, and the Stars still haven't figured everything out. So there were a couple kind of reports of vetoed trades leading up to the first day of free agency. Jason Robertson was supposedly going to get sent to Seattle and sign a long-term extension there, but he didn't want to do that, so he vetoed that trade. Then the Stars were allegedly in talks with the Columbus Blue Jackets for Norris Trophy winner Zach Werenski, and they would have sent Thomas Harley to Columbus in part of that return. But then Columbus pretty much decides, maybe we don't want to trade Werenski, and Werenski puts out this statement saying, I want to be here, after saying he didn't want to be here, and Stars are kind of just there looking around like, I thought that you wanted to leave. So it's a little bit of a weird situation. And then, of course, they trade Maverick Bork and Ilya Lyubushkin yesterday, make a couple other signings. They brought back Joel Kibiranta, who played for the Stars a few years ago, has been in Colorado the last couple of years, signed Artu Huru. But yeah, the Robertson one is the one everyone wants to know, and seems like they are trying to make it work still. The question is if he's going to go to arbitration and just what that process is going to look like over the next few weeks here.
Hey, Leah, the whole thing with the veto of these trades, and you know, it's fascinating to me that you would kind of feel like that, hey, the general managers work out deals and then all of a sudden the players are vetoing it. Do we not talk to the players before they're doing these deals about like, hey, listen, yeah. I want to send you here. I mean, I would talk to the player like, I have a deal potentially with, you know, would you be interested? And but all of a sudden it all gets out, and I don't know if there's any hard feelings about these things, but I kind of wonder how the veto thing works in the hockey world.
Yeah, it depends obviously on the situation for the player, and I mean, hockey, there are more players with no move clauses in hockey than any other major sports league. I think I saw some graphic that said, you know, MLB, NBA, NFL, there's like 5 players in each of those leagues that have that. And in hockey, there's 250. So there's just so many players in the NHL who have that. And Jason Robertson doesn't, but a lot of these sign and trade deals are reliant on, okay, we will make this trade happen and the return for the Stars will be bigger if Jason Robertson agrees to an 8-year extension. So that's why they try to work it out this way versus you're trading an RFA who's going to be a UFA next year and you're not going to get a very good return for that. Jason Robertson can decide, I don't want to go sign with the Seattle Kraken. I don't want to sign with the St. Louis Blues. So that's kind of his authority to do that. And then, of course, players like Werenski, Roope Hintz, Tyler Seguin are some examples for the Stars, have the full no-move clauses, and they have to waive that right to be traded. In my opinion, I think if you're going to request a trade and say, I want to be traded, you should probably have to waive that clause.
Right.
Say, okay, you know,
right.
You can't just dictate where you're going to go. And I think that's going to be a big conversation over the next couple off seasons between the Players Association and the owners. And it's just gotten a little bit messy. In terms of the conversations with GMs and players, I think a lot of it is, yeah, they don't want things to leak. And the more people that are in the know, they want to maybe work out a deal and then present it to the player. But it seems like the Stars were under the impression that Werenski would have wanted to come to Dallas. I don't know if maybe Columbus didn't get all that information or exactly what fell apart there. But you would hope that when they're setting up these deals, the player involved is okay with it before it all gets out there. And that just hasn't been the case.
Leah Simakopoulos with us here in the G-Bag Nation talking Dallas Stars hockey. So now with Robo, and I mean, I don't want to ask you just straight up, hey, what's going on with these negotiations? I don't know if anybody knows. It seems like it's very fluid.
Yeah.
But what's your best estimate to what you've been hearing on where that is right now? And then also the Thomas Harley element of this, where his name was just out there. They had a deal to send him to Columbus, and now he's coming back with the team. Is the friction there kind of an overblown thing? And it's, hey, you guys are professional athletes. We're paying you a bunch of money. Get over it. Or could that cause issues mm-hmm. moving forward?
Yeah, in terms of I'll answer the Thomas Harley part first. We asked Jim Neal about that yesterday, and he kind of said that exactly of, you know, it's part of the business. Like, we were going to have conversations with Thomas. He kind of understands, like, he doesn't have a no-move clause. He knows that he can be traded. Like, that's just part of the business. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some hard feelings there a little bit, but he didn't get traded. So, I also think it's one thing if you're getting traded for picks, or you're getting traded to clear cap room or for future considerations versus getting traded for the Norris Trophy winner. Like, when they traded Logan Stankoven for Mikko Rantanen, I'd spoken with, like, Logan's dad about this after, and he said, you know, it's a little bit of a compliment to go get traded as a package for part of a package for Mikko Rantanen. That means
sure.
that, you know, another team thinks that you're valuable enough, obviously, and Carolina really wanted him. So I think you would hope that Thomas Harley can kind of see that. But, yeah, the dynamics of the locker room are going to be interesting after all of this. And I'm curious to see how, you know, other players respond to this whole Jason Robertson situation. And I can't tell you one way or another whether he's going to sign or not. I wish I knew at this point. But my feeling of it is the trade of Maverick Bork, I don't think that you make that trade unless you think that Jason Robertson is coming back. Because to lose Maverick Bork, to lose Jason Robertson, is just way too much to lose in an offseason to not really bring in anything else. So unless they're going to go trade Jason Robertson for someone of his caliber, I think that the effort is still to sign him and to try to clear a little more room. I mean, Maverick Bork, I don't think he has his deal yet in Nashville, but he's probably going to make, you know, $3-5 mm-hmm. $6 million a year. The Stars could not have afforded him at that price and also signed Jason Robertson. So I saw that move as, okay, this is, and also trading Ilya Lyubushkin, who made $3.25 million. Those are all kind of cap clearing moves and to keep that window open if they do want to sign Robertson.
So Kivi Ranta signs with the Stars last night, 1 year, $1 million. Do you think that opens the door to trade Radek Foxa?
I think that's been a discussion. That's one that I think is hard because they traded Radek Foxa to St. Louis for a year for future considerations. They bring him back on a two-year deal, a much more team-friendly deal. But he's still making $2 million a year, which is probably more than you'd like to be paying him. I think that he's one of the names that I thought they might trade this offseason. And, yeah, you bring Kivi Ranta in on half as much. Maybe that's something they look to do if they need to do it. And they re-signed Arttu Huru, who I think plays a pretty similar role as Foxa, probably has a little more offensive ability as well. So for personal reasons of just, you know, having that relationship with the player, it's probably tough just to trade him twice for cap reasons, but I think that that's just the business, and the Stars are in a really tough spot with the cap, and they don't really have a whole lot of options. So I think, you know, that might be one they look to do over the next few weeks.
Were you surprised that they, you know, they bring in Kivi Ranta, but instead of maybe going for more of a scorer like Zuccarello or bringing back Michael Bunting?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to afford Michael Bunting. I didn't think that he'd be able to resign. I think he's still pretty close to his prime, and I think he made $4.5 million, and they were only able to do that just because of the Sagan money left over when he was put on LTIR. But yeah, the Zuccarello deal, we were all sitting in the room yesterday just watching NHL Network. We stood up in the Stars facility, and we saw that one come through, and he signed for $1 million, and he's a top line left winger. I mean, that's exactly what the Stars need. So I don't know if they've just been caught up a little too much in these conversations with Robertson and that one slipped through, or if he had no interest in coming to Dallas. But yeah, depth scoring used to be a strength of theirs and is becoming a little more of a problem. And they've got three really good lines of third and fourth liners, but the top six is a little shaky right now. And the winger position is kind of a problem, especially if they can't figure out Robertson. So, yeah, that feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. But I think that, you know, they liked Kiviranta, and he did score 16 goals last year in Colorado when he was healthy. So maybe they think he can do that here.
Leo, when you reflect back, and we had a lot of Stars fans texting in, like, well, they're in this position because of the Rantanen trade. And they had, you know, Logan Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston and Maverick Bourque and this young up-and-coming group that they felt great about. Now you're left with just Wyatt Johnston. As you kind of reflect back at the Stars' moves over the last few years, do you think that they've done everything in their power possible and in the right way to improve this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen a lot of people questioning that similarly, and you have all these young talent, but the way I always kind of looked at it, and I wrote about this today, it's just, you know, all of these young stars were making like $800,000 a year, and Wyatt Johnston last season made like $890,000 a year and scored 30 goals. Like, you were eventually going to have to pay him, and I think that they knew that time was going to come. They knew it was going to be very difficult, and sure, you know, maybe they could have fit the pieces in if they didn't bring in a Rantanen, but I think they also thought that they were going to win in that window when all of those players were young, and the window was very much open. It feels like the window's kind of on the closing end at this point, but if you think to last season or the season before when they made those runs to the Western Conference Finals, they were a little more concerned with how do we get this team to win. And I think that Mikko Rantanen and that trade, people can say all they want, and Logan Stankoven goes and wins the Stanley Cup, but I think 10 out of 10 times you make that trade, and that was a good decision. People maybe feel a certain way about it now because Mikko didn't play so great in the playoffs, but he also had a torn MCL, so I think, you know, we see what he can do next season. So, yeah, I'm sure they look back, and maybe there's some things they would have done differently. You know, the Tomitarli deal, he's going to make like $11 million next year. He makes more than Miro, and right now that doesn't look so great because he didn't have such a great season, but what if he plays like he played 2 years ago when he earned that deal? So I think that, you know, hindsight's 2020. They did what they could. But I think this offseason, I'm just curious of, okay, when this team arrives for training camp, is it going to just basically be the same group with maybe some different depth forwards plugged into some different spots? Or what can they do to actually get better? Because, you know, I saw someone on Twitter say insanity is, you know, whatever that quote is, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I think they just can't get into that position. They have to make some sort of significant change.
Well, and you lose Petrovic. Alexander Petrovic goes back to Florida, and so he's gone. So what do you think about the blue line right now? Clearly they were trying to improve that with the Werenski trade. Can they even afford anybody else that's a free agent right now?
No, and I mean, they have seven defensemen. They have, Capo Bianco could technically go down to Cedar Park, but unless they're not going to sign Robertson, that's the only way that I can see them affording, you know, anyone. The Werenski trade would have been great because they actually would have saved money on that deal. He makes $1 million less than Thomas Hartley does.
Wow.
So, but, you know, they still are kind of in the same cycle of, it's the right side of the blue line is where they've had issues all these years. Werenski's also a lefty, so then you've got Werenski and Miro and Essa, and what's that dynamic like? Not saying that that deal wouldn't have been good for them. I think that would have been great for them if it worked out, but I expect, in my view, I think it's the forwards, it's Jason Robertson, that's really the focus for them now. And maybe if it gets to a point where that just completely falls apart, they look at trying to bring in someone, but I don't really even know who's out there that they would even want to go trade for or sign at this point.
Last thing for you, Lee, are you getting the vibe that Jamie Benn will be returning?
It seems like it. It seems like they're having conversations. I would expect Jamie Benn is going to take the league minimum and come back for a 1 year on a league minimum salary with however much in bonuses, kind of similar to what he did last year. And, you know, next season the cap goes up. All of those bonuses would go on the cap next season. Tyler Seguin also comes off the books next year, and he makes like $10 million. So they'd be able to afford it a little better at that point. But, yeah, it seems like I always thought this offseason it was going to be Jamie's decision. If he wanted to come back, they would bring him back. But I also wonder how much, you know, he looks at the team, and does he think this team can win a Stanley Cup next season? And if not, does he decide that this is it? So, but, you know, I would expect that he'll be back.
Leah Simakopoulos, our friend from the Dallas Morning News. Make sure you're checking out all of her work. Leah, you're the best. You're always fantastic. Thank you so much for giving us some time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. There she goes, Leah Simakopoulos with us here in the G-Bag Nation. We're doing a little sports hodgepodge next.
Yes, Walchuk, we are under 48 hours to the return of the greatest hype man in all of sports next in the nation.